Does truth matter? Well, does it? Does it matter so much that you would fight for it? Does it matter so much that you lay down your life for it? In our passage today, we read of Jesus having another encounter with the Jewish leaders. One of the things that I've noticed in studying John is that the Prince of Peace is constantly fighting for the truth. Do you notice that? And here we see another account of a fight that he's having with the Jewish leaders. Jesus is always fighting. He was fighting against Satan. He was fighting against demons. He physically fought against demons and actually delivered people from the clutches of Satan. He fought against his unbelieving family members who at times considered him insane. He fought against the unbelieving religious leaders, the Jews. He fought against the world. He fought against the Romans. He fought against the Gentiles. He fought against Jews. Jesus fought against temptation. He fought against sin. He fought against suffering. He fought against death. At times, he even fought against his own disciples. Jesus fought against these foes. He was against those. But what I want to focus on today is, what did Jesus fight for? You know, it's easy to be against something. And we've seen that the last several weeks. How people could be against other people. But what are they for? Jesus fought for the truth. He fought for the truth about God. He fought for the truth about salvation. He fought for the truth about sin. He fought about the truth concerning God's will. He fought about walking by faith, not by sight. He fought for living righteously. One of the main things that Jesus has fought against is unbelief. Time and time again in John, he is dealing with people who refuse to believe him, to believe that he is the Christ. He fought. He fought for the truth. Do you? John 1:10 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. And he fought. He fought for his people. He fought to save them. One of the things that stands out in our study of Jesus is that he was not passive. He was active in defending and promoting the truth about himself, about God, about right, about wrong, about heaven, about hell. He did not back down. He did not take a step back and let the others wage war for the truth. He was right in the middle of it. He fought for the truth because he was the truth. He fought for the truth about God because he was God. He fought against evil. And we know, thanks to Pastor Ben, thanks to the scriptures, thanks to the teaching, he fought against sin and the devil at the cross, and he won. He fought for the truth because he knew it was the truth that set people free. Free from the power of sin. Free from the wrath of God. Free from the darkness. Free from damning teachings that misled people. Free from the world's systems, the world's philosophies. He taught the truth about how the Old Testament law and prophecies were fulfilled in him. He taught the truth about the long-awaited Messiah. He was the Son of God. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Good Shepherd, and he would not back down. Even when he was fought against and people wanted to kill him, he didn't back down. He was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. He knew his mission, he knew the truth, and he died for it. His ministry was a continual fight against the principalities and powers of darkness. And why did he fight? He fought for us. He fought to save us. And why did he do that? Because he loves us. So the main idea in this message is Jesus Christ was always fighting for the truth because he loved sinners and wanted them to know that and believe that the truth so that they would be saved from the wrath of God. That's why he fought. He fought for us. He was not passive, but active. In John 10:22, that was just read, the gospel writer fasts forward from the fall to the winter of that year. As you recall from our earlier teachings in chapters 7, 8, and 9, and even the first part of 10, Jesus had been observing the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles occurred in the fall, around October time. John tells us now in verse 22 that Jesus is observing the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah. And this holiday took place in the winter, in December. So there's a time lapse here where John is just moving Jesus on and recording the things that Jesus is doing as he prepares for his passion. His final week on earth. The Feast of Tabernacle or Feast of Dedication commemorated the victory of the Jews over the Syrian army when Antiochus Epiphanes wanted to Hellenize that whole area, make it Greek. And what he did is he attacked Jerusalem. He defiled the temple by slaughtering pigs and other animals on the altar and totally defiled it and killed Jews. Well, Judas Maccabees came along and led an uprising that defeated Antiochus Epiphanes and the Syrians. And what they did then was they cleaned the temple. They cleansed the temple. And they celebrated the fact that God had given the victory, defeated evil. And Jesus is at this celebration, a joyous celebration, where the people remembered how the temple was rededicated to the Lord. During these feasts, as you recall, Jesus was in a constant fight. A fight for the truth, whether it was a Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Dedication. He encountered Jewish officials. We see in John 10:24, so Jews gathered around him and told him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Next verse, Jesus responds, I told you and you do not believe. Do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You see, he fought for the truth. He would not back down. He told them that they weren't part of his flock. I bet you they were offended. insulted. How can you say that, Jesus? Look at our history. We're God's chosen people. And you're saying you're not part of my flock? Well, what flock do you have? And there was this back and forth constantly. In today's passage, Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd. He continues this theme that we learned about last week in the first 22 verses. He does not shy away from the antagonist, but speaks the truth about God, about himself, about the Jewish leaders themselves. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. If you go through John and circle the number of times you see the word work or works, you'd be amazed. Why does John record so much about the works of Jesus or Jesus' discussions and arguments with the Jews? Why has he just said, I'm the Messiah, that's it? Well, Jesus tells them the truth, and he verifies the truth with factual evidence. He corroborates his testimony with his works. I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of the world. I am the Christ. And to prove it, here are my works. And you've seen my works. You've seen me heal. You've seen me feed the flock. You've seen me cast out demons, give sight to the blind, which he did in chapter 9. He sets the captives free from the clutches of Satan. You see all these works. These are the works that my Father sent me to do. You see them all. And they corroborate the truth. I am the Son of God. And what was their response? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe his testimony. They didn't believe his works. You know, this passage in John is so loaded. There's probably at least 5 doctrinal truths that could turn into sermons very easily. The doctrine of election and predestination, verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my flock. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. There's the doctrine of eternal life in verse 28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. The doctrine of eternal security, verse 28. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The doctrine of God, I and the Father are one. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. And the doctrine of Christ's omniscience, John 10:30. But you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. He knew who was part of his flock, and he knew who was not. He knew who the good guys were, and he knew who the bad guys were. He knew. And the people's actions proved that he knew because they did not believe in Jesus. They did not believe he was the Messiah. In fact, in John 10:31, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Again, Jesus does not back away. He doesn't run away from speaking the truth. Even though his life is threatened, he speaks the truth. Jesus answered in verse 32, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for good works that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. You see, they didn't know who he was. He didn't know that. They didn't know he was fully God and fully man. Verse 36. You are blaspheming because you say that I am blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Jesus fought for the truth about himself. He wanted those people to believe that he was the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, their Savior. And they refused. Even goes so far in verse 38. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. They refused. They ignored what he said about works. Their focus here in this scripture is his big problem was that he made himself out to be God. And that couldn't happen. That couldn't happen. Jesus would not deny his true identity. He was the Messiah. And as Christians, when we fight for the truth, we cannot deny our identity, that we are followers of Christ. If we do, we no longer are the salt and no longer the light. And when there's no salt to preserve and there's no light to dispel the darkness, you have what we have today. Darkness, evil, sin, lying, accusations, people trying to destroy people. We have to fight for the truth, even when it costs. Jesus Christ was always fighting for the truth because he loved sinners and he wanted them to know and believe the truth so they would be saved from the wrath of God. The Apostle Paul fought for the truth. The Apostle Paul instructed the young pastors that he was mentoring to fight for the truth. He counseled Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths, and I may add, unbiblical worldviews, philosophies, all kind of stories, all kind of religions. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's Paul's counsel to the church today, to us. If we don't fight for the truth about God, about salvation, about the scriptures, about sin, if we're afraid to offend somebody by telling them that the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ, what use is the church? What good is the church anymore? We cannot lose our voice in this day and age and cower beneath the principalities and powers of darkness who want to shut us up, who want to take Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, out of society completely. That's what happens with secular humanism. We are going to solve all the problems. meaning mankind. We have all the answers. We have the truth. And so often Christians just lay down and take it. Well, I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to create friction. Do you see what the other side is doing? Are they afraid of offending you? Are they? Will they stop with a good argument? No. They'll dismiss the gospel that you're teaching them. They'll dismiss all the good works. They want their understanding of life to be dominant. And they're going to keep pushing until they get their way. So what's the church's response to this? What's Jesus' response to people that are trying to say that he's not the only way to salvation? What did he do? He stood up to them, standing on the promises. Here are the promises. People may get up and walk out, but they're going to hear the truth. Youth leaders, we're losing a whole generation if we're not fighting for the truth. Sunday school teachers, if we're not confronting the stuff that filters in from the world into our classes, or small group leaders, okay, well, that's what you believe, and that's all right, and you can believe this, you can believe... No, you can't. You got to believe the truth. Because if the truth is gone, then you're just living in a big lie. And unfortunately, so many people have rolled over. And instead of letting their light shine, they covered it up. We need to actively join the battle for the truth. We can no longer live on the Christian capital of years gone by. The battle has intensified, is escalated. You see the lawlessness and the hatred, the lying that is going on. And we must respond to it. Are we going to follow Christ's example? Or are we going to surrender souls over to the evil one? We have to tell the truth. Pastor Ben did a great job in telling the truth to the young people. This is what evil people do to those who follow God. This is what you're going to experience in school and in high school and in college. So get ready for it and be ready to fight against it. Be ready for the cost that you're going to have to pay. But we thank God for those who have gone on before us that did take a stand, don't we? Or we wouldn't be sitting here today. Those Sunday school teachers, those missionaries, those parents, those people who believed in the truth and made sure we heard the truth, and as it was as much up to them that could possibly be, they helped us believe in the truth. That's where we are right now. We're in a war. So the exhortation is to take a stand for Christ, to fight for him, to be thankful for those saints who have gone on before us. You know, since 1833, this church has been a beacon for the truth. Think of all the people that have come through here. Think about yourselves right now, how you are standing on the shoulders of people that were not afraid to fight for the truth, who were not afraid to fight for the gospel. Many of them are out there in the cemetery, their bodies, but they're in glory right now. And because they fought for the truth, because they took some stands that at times were very, very painful and costly, We have the Word of God. We have the gospel today. So we think back to those saints who fought like Jesus fought for the truth. We're beneficiaries of their fighting. Will our children benefit from our fighting for the truth? That's what this is all about. That's why we're building a school. This is not just about a building. This is about a war. Who's going to get the next generation with the truth? Where do they find the truth? Who's fighting for the truth? We have this great opportunity to change the lives of hundreds and even thousands looking far into the future with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you join that fight? I'm challenging you. It's costly, but what's at stake? How much is the soul of your grandson worth? How much is the soul of your cousin worth? It's worth Christ's life. But it's worth our lives as well to apply ourselves to the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I encourage you. I exhort you to join the battle for truth. Because if we don't do it, who will? And if we don't do it now, when are we going to? As we come to this communion table in a minute or two, the greatest battle that ever occurred in the universe, we're reminded of at this table. When Jesus refused to be silent, when he refused to take the easy way out, when he faced his accusers, when he faced the devil, he went to that cross voluntarily. Why? Because he loved us and he wanted to save us from damnation. That's what we're thinking about here when we come to this table. That's what we're remembering. The greatest battle that was ever fought, and Jesus won. One of the brothers in Philly says, Jesus hit the home run, we just have to run the bases. And you're right. This is our responsibility now to take what he has given us, his grace, and to share it with generations to come. We have to examine ourselves. Are we in the fight? If you're not getting shot at, you're not in the battle. And if you're getting shot at, you're probably pretty wounded. But keep fighting. Keep fighting. The souls, the eternity of people rely on our fights.